Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener-supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Gregory, I'm on the air. I'll call you. Welcome to the Raw Deal. We had technical connection problems. Surprise, surprise. Meanwhile, we have a rather major story potentially affecting Donald Trump, where the Supreme Court has agreed to hear an appeal brought by the man charged with offenses related to the January 6th assault on the U.S. Capitol, or so we're told, in a case that could have a major impact on a criminal prosecution of former President Trump. The justices will hear a case brought by defendant Joseph Fisher, seeking to dismiss a charge accusing him of obstructing an official proceeding, namely the certification by Congress of President Biden's election victory, which is disrupted by a mob of Trump supporters. That's, of course, not exactly right. They weren't at the point of counting the ballots. They were at the point of discussing evidence of election theft. So Pelosi and Schumer, the Capitol Police and the FBI had cleverly timed this thing so that they could, you know, declare a problem and actually, in essence, abandon the opportunity to discuss evidence of election theft. I mean, that's how it goes in Washington, D.C. with Democrats these days. Two other January 6th defendants, Edward Lang and Garrett Miller, brought similar appeals, the outcome of which will be dictated by the Supreme Court's ruling in the Fisher case. A public defender representing Fisher named Fritz Ulrich said he was pleased with the court will clarify the scope of the law in question. Trump has been charged with the same offense, as well as others in his federal election interference case. The court's decision to take up the issue, as well as the timing, could therefore affect his. It will take months for the justices to hear oral argument and issue a ruling sometime during their current nine-month term, which ends in June. And, of course, that's well into the campaign season. Trump's lawyers could use the Supreme Court's involvement as an opportunity to delay his election interference trial, scheduled to begin in March. He, of course, is a front-runner in the polls for the Republican presidential nomination, and any delay in his criminal trial in Washington would presumably be to his benefit. None of these cases, it appears to me, have any legitimate foundation in fact or in law. They're all designed to interfere with the election, attorneys' reputation. But ironically, They've had very much the opposite effect. Interestingly, there was an interview, and it may have been on Fox, of residents of the Bronx. For, of course, New York is heavily Democratic. And virtually every bypasser they interviewed said they were going to vote for Trump. Everyone, one after another, after another, after another. So I think the Democrats' campaign strategy ain't working. The problem is that they have so many ways to steal the election that it's very unclear whether even if the Republicans ran a flawless candidate, I've suggested Jesus Christ as an example, that they could still win. I do not believe, by the way, that Biden is a reasonable prospect, because if they're going to steal the election, they have to have a plausible explanation, and Joe Biden obviously provides none of the above. He's incompetent, he's senile, he's incapable of reasoned thought, he's actually not even the real guy. He's some kind of imposter. And for anyone who remains the least bit skeptical, check out my blog, jameshfetzer.org, and just do a search on Joe Biden, Biden double, you're going to find a mountain of evidence, including that this guy and the real Joe have different size and shape of head, different handwriting, different social interaction with Jill. I even went back and found an interview of the real guy here in 2007 or 8, and it was amazing how totally different he is from the present incumbent that we're supposed to believe is Joe Biden from Delaware. He was very articulate, very aggressive, intellectually sharp, even though it turns out, of course, he has a penchant for lying about everything about his own life history from popcorn on up. I mean, it's ridiculous. Lots of hand gestures, pretty much the antithesis of the guy we got up there now. Meanwhile, 19 state attorneys general have urged the Biden regime to reconsider a proposed rule that, and this is virtually unbelievable, disqualifies Christian families who do not affirm LGBTQ rules from becoming foster parents. I mean, how disgusting is this? Attorneys general from 19 states have penned a joint letter opposing a recent rule proposed by the Department of Health and Human Services impacting foster care placements. The contentious rule, officially labeled Safe and Appropriate Foster Care Placement Requirements for Titles 4E and 4B, was published in the Federal Register on September 28th under the citation 88 Fed Reg 66752. This proposed regulation aims to establish guidelines for foster care placements with a specific focus on respecting and affirming the self-identified gender identities of children in the foster care system. Among its stipulations, the rule mandates that foster parents acknowledge and use a child's chosen name and pronouns and permit them to dress in a manner consistent with their gender identity. Ye gods. In other words, parents don't have control over their own children. According to the American Family Association, a nonprofit, those who do not affirm the LGBTQ rules because of their Christian faith will be deemed unsafe by the Biden admin and ultimately rejected as foster parent candidates. This is just so disgraceful. The legal challenge, led by Steve Marshall, Attorney General of Alabama, along with Alaska, Arkansas, Georgia, Idaho, Indiana, Iowa, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, Ohio, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, Virginia, and West Virginia argues that the rule entitled Safe and Appropriate Foster Care Placement Requirements threatens the fundamental right safeguarded under the First Amendment related to freedom of religion and speech. I commend those attorneys general. I'm embarrassed that Wisconsin is not among them. Not good. Meanwhile, as I reported yesterday, or would have had I been here, the General Assembly has overwhelmingly voted to demand a Gaza ceasefire. This is a General Assembly. Only Israel, the U.S., and 8 other nations voted against the resolution. How bad is that? How could anyone vote against a resolution opposing slaughter and genocide? How could anyone be on the wrong side of that question? I am shocked. Here's what we're hearing. The UN General Assembly Tuesday voted overwhelmingly to adopt a resolution demanding a ceasefire in Gaza as global opposition to the U.S.-backed Israeli massacre of Palestinians continues to rise. Out of the 193 members of the GA, 153 supported the resolution, 10 voted against it, and 23 abstained. The U.S. and Israel voted against it and were joined by Austria, Czechia, Guatemala, Liberia, Micronesia, Nauru, Papua New Guinea, and Paraguay. A resolution expresses grave concern over the catastrophic humanitarian situation in the Gaza Strip and the suffering of the Palestinian civilian population, emphasizing that the Palestinian and Israeli civilian populations must be protected in accordance with international humanitarian law. Of course, as we know, Israel doesn't give a damn about international law. Israel doesn't give a damn about the Hague Convention or the Geneva Convention or the gross immorality of genocide. In fact, you can find it even in the Torah, the first 5 books of the Old Testament. You can even find it there. You do not have to be a Talmudic, Zionist, Jewish supremacists to see that the God of the Old Testament is a God of vengeance. And Deuteronomy, as an illustration, is just saturated with one genocide after another. They believe in genocide. I mean, this is so opposite of the God of the New Testament, of the message of Jesus Christ, which was one of love and mercy and compassion. Pretty much the diametrical opposite of the vicious, sadistic, satanic God of the old. I mean, it is stunning. And I think Americans have to come to grips with the fact that Israel doesn't give a damn about international law because that's made by man. They believe they are entitled as a chosen people to the promised land, including all of Palestine and much more. Indeed, Paul Craig Roberts has observed, and I believe correctly, that just as 9/11 was designed to use the United States to take out the modern Arab states that serve as a counterbalance Israel's domination of the entire region, beginning with Libya and Iraq, ending with Syria and Iran, where they were thwarted in their effort because of the intervention of Russian and Iranian troops at the request of the democratically elected president of Syria, Bashar al-Assad. What's going on now is an attempt to complete the mission. For the greater Israel of Zionist dreams includes large sections of Egypt, of Saudi Arabia, all of Lebanon, Jordan, parts of Iraq. I mean, it's shocking when you consider what's going on here. Meanwhile, it demands an immediate humanitarian ceasefire, calls on all parties to follow international law, demands the immediate and unconditional release of all hostages, as well as ensuring humanitarian access. Well, mark my words, it ain't going to happen. The Israelis are up to slaughter every Palestinian, or at least displace them, off of the land of Palestine, which has been theirs for well over 3,000 years, whereas the Israelis are Johnny's come lately, having been there for only 75. They want to eradicate the Palestinians. They want to annex Gaza. They want to seize control of vast gas and oil rights that are there that belong to the Palestinian people, but where Israel is already, in my opinion, wrongly and illegally issued rights to drill to six foreign companies, and they want to build a Ben-Gurion Canal as an alternative to the Suez right through the middle of Gaza. So you can think of their mass destruction of the buildings taking place there as an urban renewal project from the Israeli point of view. In just 2 months, Israel's bombardment and siege on Gaza has killed over 18,000 Palestinians, including over 7,000 children, and about 90% of the enclave population has been displaced. Israeli officials have rejected international pressure for a ceasefire and vowed the war will go on, possibly for months or even years. Indeed, Israeli generals have declared this is going to take place. This war against Hamas is going to endure for at least a year. Meanwhile, as another reflection of their humane orientation, Israel begins pumping seawater into Hamas Gaza tunnels. Israel's military has begun pumping seawater into Hamas' vast complex of tunnels in Gaza, according to a U.S. official briefed on Israel's military operation, part of an intensive effort to destroy the underground infrastructure that has underpinned the group's operation. The move to flood the tunnels with water from the Mediterranean, which is in an early stage, is one of several techniques Israel is using to try and clear and destroy the tunnels. A spokesperson for the Israeli defense minister declined to comment, saying the tunnel operations are classified. Israeli officials say Hamas' underground system has been key to its operation on the battlefield. The tunnel system, they say, is used by Hamas to maneuver fighters across the battlefield and store the group's rockets and munitions, enable the group's leaders to command and control their forces. Israel also believes some hostages are being held inside the tunnels. Too bad for them. The utility of using seawater in a vast underground labyrinth that extends for roughly 300 miles and includes thick blast doors is still being evaluated by the Israelis, according to U.S. officials. Flooding the tunnels would likely be a week-long process, began around the time Israel added two more pumps to the five installed last month and conducted some initial tests. Some Biden admin officials have been concerned that using seawater might not be effective and could endanger Gaza's freshwater supply. Egypt, in 2015, used seawater to flood tunnels operated by smugglers under the Rafah border crossing with Gaza, prompting complaints from nearby farmers about damaged crops. But the Israelis don't care. If they destroy all the fresh water, all that much better. Remember the rule of threes. Human beings can survive 3 minutes without air, 3 days without water, 3 weeks without food. They began imposing their siege on Gaza way back on the 8th of October. That's been a whole lot longer than 3 weeks. At the same time, they cut off water, food, fuel, and electricity. This is an all-out mass slaughter, and the whole world stands complicit in this crime against humanity by doing nothing. The United States, most of all, because even Israeli generals acknowledge that were it not for the weapons provided by the United States, they couldn't slaughter the Palestinians at all. How bad is that? Truly, truly disgusting. Meanwhile, we have Hunter Biden declaring he won't testify behind closed doors and resisting subpoena. This guy really thinks he's a special case. Hunter Biden made clear during a press conference Wednesday he will only testify under his own rules and will not comply with House investigators' lawful subpoena that compelled his testimony behind closed doors at 9:30 a.m. the same day. Hunter's failure to appear before House investigator would likely be a factor in formalizing the House impeachment inquiry vote Wednesday evening regarding President Biden's involvement in the Biden family business. A look for an update. House Speaker Johnson pointed to 6 areas of mounting evidence against Biden that cannot be ignored. 1, Biden family members in Biden business-linked entities received more than $15 million from individuals in Ukraine, Russia, Kazakhstan, Romania, and China. 2,
like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
How's it going?
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, before I unleash Rolf Lindgren here, wants to draw a comparison between the trials of Trump and the trial of Galileo. I want to review again the mounting evidence that the House Speaker is citing in relation to Biden that cannot be ignored. Because it's monstrous, it's detailed, it's specific, it's obvious evidence of corruption, unlike anything against Trump. There's nothing remotely approximating what we have here. I repeat, first, Biden family members and Biden business-linked entities received more than $15 million from individuals in Ukraine, Russia, Kazakhstan, Romania, and China. Two, Joe Biden spoke with other Biden business associates at least 22 times, probably 220 times. Three, Joe Biden lied about his involvement in the business. Four, Joe Biden received direct monthly payments from Hunter Biden's Owasco PC business account, which received payments from Chinese state-linked companies and other foreign nationals and companies. Fifth, investigators flagged the Justice Department deviations in a five-year investigation into Hunter Biden, meaning they're covering it up. Six, an FBI FD 1023 form alleges Joe Biden accepted a $5 million bribe while vice president. I'm here today to answer at a public hearing any legitimate questions Chairman Comer and the House Oversight Committee may have for me, Hunter Biden told reporters behind the Capitol building. I'm here today to make sure that the House Committee's illegitimate investigations of my family did not proceed on distortions, manipulated evidence, and lies. This guy has a lot of balls. My God. Among the most corrupt we've had in our country. Rolf, welcome to the show. You are such an expert on Galileo, your hero. And I know you hold Trump in similar regard. Give us your thoughts. How do they compare? Go for it, my friend.
Well, it looks like history is repeating itself. Now, with Trump, who's the most famous person in the world, he's being attacked, and we all know the different attacks on him, right? He's got four indictments with 91 counts. These include taking some papers home from the White House, he's giving a speech on January 6th, something to do with Stormy Daniels, and I think there's two of them, something to do with Georgia or something, even though that was the election in Georgia or something. So there's filing legal motions to challenge the votes or something. And then we have the 14th Amendment ways to try to kick them off the ballot instead of letting people vote who they want. Then you have the the so-called rape trial that was earlier in the year, the civil case where he was found guilty, even though it was a preposterous story that happened 30 years ago or something like that. And then we also have the current trial in New York where Trump already proved he was innocent in the middle of the trial with the testimony of the banks, which is exactly the same thing that Galileo did in his trial. He proved he was innocent in the middle of the trial. And actually, if you look at the trial of Jesus in the New Testament, Jesus also proved he was innocent in the middle of the trial. So this is a common thing when you have a powerful, tyrannical government that wants power, and anyone who challenges their power by using truth, they want to stop it. And I want to talk a little bit about the trial of Galileo because less people know about that. One of the things in Galileo's trial is he didn't have a jury, right? Does Trump have a jury? Not in the 14th Amendment cases, not in the New York trial, he doesn't. Now, people may not know this, but Galileo had 10 cardinals as the so-called jurors. They weren't jurors, they were judges. And actually, only 7 of the 10 found Galileo guilty. A lot of people don't know that Galileo only lost 7-3 when they voted. So it could have went the other way with 2 votes. Galileo proved that he was innocent. Now, first of all, a lot of people don't really know what was Galileo actually accused of doing. Okay, let me summarize that situation. Galileo, in 1610, became the most famous person in the world because he discovered the telescope and then wrote a book about the telescope where he discovered the mountains on the moon, the moons of Jupiter, the nature of nebulous stars, which means there's lots of little bitty stars that you can't see that are all close together. He discovered all kinds of things. He measured the height of the mountains on the moon and many other things. Okay, so he became super-duper famous all over the world, including even in China. Even in China, they had a special award for Galileo in 1615. That's how big Galileo was. Okay, but also in 1615, Galileo was brought in for questioning by the government, which was really the Catholic Church. Now, I'm not trying to attack the Catholic Church because it's a religion that has had the power of government. So it doesn't make any difference if it's a Catholic Church or if it's a different religion. It's the government brought Galileo in for questioning, and in 1615, and then in 1616, Galileo was given a warning, a gag order, just like Trump. In 1616, Galileo was given a gag order to not talk about the theory that the Earth moves around the Earth. Sometimes it was called the Copernican theory, although Copernicus
actually... The Earth moves around the sun, Rolf. Yeah.
Yeah, the Copernican theory was that the Earth moves around the sun, whereas the heliocentric, that's the heliocentric versions, the Earth goes around the sun, and then there's the geocentric, which means the sun goes around the Earth, which actually was proposed by the ancient Greeks, including Aristarchus of Samos. These theories were revived then by Copernicus. And then, by the way, Copernicus died in 1543. That's when his book was published. And Galileo was born in 1564. So we're talking, if we're in 1615, we're a long way past the publication of Copernicus's book. In other words, Copernicus's book was very important, but I would not say that it started the scientific revolution because it took too long for the major steps to go forward. But in 1616, Galileo was given a warning, a gag order that said he couldn't talk about the Copernican theory in certain ways. So we're going to come back to what the gag order actually said. The gag order, just like the gag order with Trump, is unclear what Galileo was allowed to say. And what is he not allowed to say? It's the same thing with Trump. Trump is supposedly you can't say something bad about witnesses, or you can't threaten the witnesses, okay? Well, who are the witnesses? We don't know who the witnesses are, right? Is Bill Barr a witness? I don't know. Maybe the government, maybe he will be, maybe he won't be. Is he an actually a relevant witness? No, he's not. But does the government think he's a relevant witness? Yes. So it's the same thing with Trump and Galileo. They're giving gag orders that we don't really know what the hell the gag order means. This is in 1616. So Galileo moves on to other things, like discovering the microscope, discovering binoculars, discovering the rings of Saturn, discovering the law of falling bodies, and mentioning that to his friends, discovering the parallelogram law of forces, discovering the law of inertia, discovering the principles of the scientific revolution, and telling his friends about it. So he's doing all this other stuff as well. But then in 1621, his friend became the Pope, Pope Urban VIII. Pope Urban VIII, Galileo went to visit with the Pope, and Galileo, of course, wanted to write a book about the Pope, and Galileo actually had just written a different book in 1623, and he dedicated it to the Pope. He went down to the Pope to talk about his new book. Then Galileo went back to see the Pope in 1629 to get more permission and instructions about what to write about his new book about the dialogues of the world systems. And then Galileo published his book in 1632 called The Dialogue of the Two World Systems. Okay, Galileo submitted his book manuscript to the government censors to make sure the book was okay. Okay, so this is an example where we have what's called freedom of speech. In Italy in 1632, you had to get the government had to license your book. So it's sort of like people who want to license gun ownership. Okay, of course, if the government licenses something, then of course they can deny your license. This is an example. All through our society, we have all kinds of things that are licensed, like your barber is licensed, your plumber is licensed, right? What if the government doesn't license them? Your driver's license is another license. What if the government won't give you a driver's license? So the government has a lot of power when they can license what you can or can't do, or what occupation you can have. Well, Galileo did get his book licensed. They read the manuscript. They published it in 1633, and then all of a sudden, 2 months later, the Pope, who ended up being the biggest, one of the greatest traitors in all of history, Pope Urban VIII, decided, oh, Galileo's guilty. And what was the charge? Galileo was hauled into Rome by 1633, and he was charged, and you might wonder, well, what the hell was he charged with because he got a license, right? Do you have any idea what he was charged with? He was charged with not disclosing all information to the government about something when he got his license. So supposedly, it'd be like if you went and got a license, a fishing license, and you didn't tell them that you were busted for, you know, poaching trout in Montana 10 years ago. You were convicted of poaching trout in Montana 10 years ago. You didn't tell the Wisconsin government that, so they gave you the license, but then they came and arrested you for fishing later. Well, with Galileo, they produced a document that said that Galileo was not permitted to talk about the Copernican theory of the motion of the earth in any way whatsoever. That's what this document said. The church presented this document as evidence against Galileo. So Galileo, in his defense, said, first of all, I know nothing about this document. He pointed out the document was unsigned, it was undated, it was unnotarized, and it came from a file where the watermarks on the paper were different from the watermarks of all the other papers in the file, the Galileo file from his gag order. So Galileo said, this is a forgery. So Galileo then presented a document to the government and said, I have permission to talk about the Copernican theory hypothetically and And this document is dated, signed, it's notarized, and it was signed by Cardinal Bellarmine, who was the most famous cardinal in the church at the time of the gag order. He was dead by 1633. Was not alive anymore. But Galileo had this document, so Galileo did the same thing that Trump just did in his trial. Galileo proved that he was innocent in the middle of the trial, right? It's exactly the same thing that Trump just did. Trump just had the bankers come in and say, no, we weren't defrauded. Trump didn't defraud us when he applied for the loan. Okay, we checked in all, we did our own due diligence and checked his paperwork. He had one opinion on the value. We had an opinion on the value. We decided how much money to loan him. We decided the loan terms. It's not fraud. That's what Trump did. Now Galileo did the same thing. He proved he was innocent. He had a document that gave him permission to discuss the motion of the earth. Okay? Now, trust me, this is going to come up in the future with Trump. They're going to start arguing about whether Trump violated a gag order or not. Because trust me, they're going to try to put Trump in jail before the election if they can. Now, of course, they know that if they put Trump in jail, his poll numbers will probably go up. Of course, they still hope that his poll numbers will go down if he gets put in jail. Okay. Also, the pretext for putting him in jail is important because the government knows that if they have a real reason to put Trump in jail, then people might say, okay, yeah, we got to put Trump in jail. But they also know that if they have a bogus pretext to put Trump in jail, then that's not going to play very well with the public. So they're in a big pickle. Now, Galileo wasn't really a political figure, but he was actually much bigger, really, than Trump, because he was absolutely famous. His ideas were so powerful, they were permeating all of society. And in fact, if you search Google Books, you can search every book published in the 1500s, in the 1600s, in the 1700s in Europe. You can search every book, the text of every book. And I did a search of that. And in the mid-1600s in Europe, 25% of every single book published in the mid-1600s in Europe mentioned Galileo. Well, that's incredible. Unbelievable. That's how big Galileo was when they were putting him on trial. Now, we have to imagine Galileo even actually being more famous than Trump. But Trump is massively, massively famous. Plus, he's running for president. Plus, he's the front runner for president. Plus, he's leading by 50% in the Republican primary. So they know that they've got a problem. Just like the judges against Galileo knew they had a problem. Those are the cardinals. You can call them the cardinals. You can call them the judges. Three of the judges knew it was not a good idea to convict Galileo, three of them, 7-3, including the Pope's nephew, by the way. One of the judges cardinals who voted Galileo innocent or didn't vote him guilty was the Pope's nephew, believe it or not. Okay, so getting back to Trump and Galileo. Galileo proved he was innocent in the middle of the trial. So then what happened? Nothing happened for 2 months. The Inquisition, which we have another inquisition today called the FBI and the DOJ, which should be defunded. The Inquisition in 1633 spent 2 months figuring out what to do. So they waited for 2 months. Then they just threatened Galileo with torture. Then they just showed up and said, we want you to plead guilty to vehement suspicion of heresy, which is kind of a idiomatic expression, which basically means you're a heretic. So Galileo was forced to apologize in April. This was in April of 1633. Then I think in June is when he actually gave the apology of 1633. And Galileo said he was really sorry for saying, you know, suggesting that the earth might be moving around the sun. He's really sorry about that. Okay. And then Galileo was put under house arrest for the rest of his life. So Galileo, of course, if Galileo hadn't been a really famous person like he was, he would have been thrown into a dungeon. Okay, now putting Galileo in jail, essentially, he was in jail and then he was in house arrest. He was under home confinement. The reality is that this was a really bad move for the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church had about 350 years of bad poll numbers because of the Galileo trial. In fact, they've only come out of the Galileo trial in recent years when the Pope, back in the 1992, I think, came out and said, okay, we're sorry that we locked up Galileo. They said they were sorry, but of course they said they were sorry, you know, 350 years later. Galileo's book was still banned by the Catholic Church until the 1830s. That's 200 years later, okay? If you want to know what happened to the Catholic Church government itself, the government of the church, it was a really bad idea to prosecute Galileo, that's for sure. Okay, well, now, is Trump as big as Galileo? Right now, Trump isn't as big as Galileo. But if Trump gets reelected and does all the stuff that he wants to do, and if he has a pro-Trump Senate and a pro-Trump House, which he probably will have a pro-Trump House if he gets elected, and he will have a relatively pro-Trump Senate, he may be able to do all kinds of stuff that's amazing and shocking and good for the people of America, good for the economy of America, and it could change everything in the whole world, actually. So if Trump gets through this, he'll be as big as Galileo, or even half as big would be pretty good. So that, what are they going to do with Trump's trial? Now, Trump's trial is probably more complicated than Galileo's because there's so many different things. Remember, we also had the Russia hoax, which we didn't even mention, which is basically over now. But a lot of people still, Trump is buddies with Putin. You know, people still say that. I see it all the time on Twitter, or X, as they now call it. So what are they going to do with Trump's trial? Well, okay, the juries in these criminal trials, most of the juries are going to be probably, you know, rubber stamp guilty. The New York jury will find him guilty if that ever goes to trial. Probably won't, though. The Georgia trial, I don't know if that would go to trial, but that's going to be guilty if they can get him. But the state case, in my view, with my knowledge of how the federal court system works and being a victim of the court system myself, I can tell you that the federal cases are more likely to go to trial than the state cases, because it's really hard to do big state cases in state court under the current case law. That leaves two trials with Jack Smith. The documents case in Florida, which some people claim is the documents case, I'm getting confused of which case is where. The documents case has a judge that's relatively fair, you might say, and the jury might be relatively fair. And now some people say, well, the documents case is much stronger. It isn't really that strong. It's Trump took a bunch of documents back from the White House. Then they raided his house. They took a bunch of documents that weren't classified and then classified them as secret. Then they charged him with having secret documents. The documents that Trump has are things like notes from a phone call. So let's say Trump's on the phone talking to some ambassador from Germany, and he says, oh, we have a sub in the Mediterranean Sea or something. He writes it in his notes. So then the government says, oh, that's classified. People can't know where our sub was at some time, even though it's now 5 years ago. That's one kind of document that they might have against Trump. And then another kind of document would be, like, let's say Trump's going to give a speech. So he writes a bunch of notes and he's going to give a speech. And then later he types up the speech with, you know, his secretary at the White House types it up. So the official paperwork from the White House might be a government record. But the notes that Trump wrote up himself, that's his property. It's not the property of the government unless Trump chooses to turn it over to the archives. And normally it takes presidents like 10 years to fully go through their papers, decide what's going to go to the archives and what's not. And, of course, we know that Jack Smith is making a mountain out of a molehill because we all know that Trump was going to turn over documents to the archives when he was done going through all the papers, just like every other president has done. In fact, George Washington took tons of papers back home from the White House. Are we going to lock him up? You know, every president did it. So this is a ridiculous case. Now, the other case against Trump is really stupid with Jack Smith. It's the January 6th case. Now, that case would have a jury that would be extremely biased against Trump. In fact, if Trump was accused of the assassination of Abraham Lincoln, that jury would probably find Trump guilty of that charge. That's how ridiculous the jury is. But the problem with the, with that trial is that, is it really going to go to trial? That's the first question. Is it really illegal for Trump to file legal motions to challenge the votes in various states? Is that actually even illegal? Okay. And it is even on its face something that could be tried by a jury. Now, one possibility that could happen is Trump could be found guilty and then it'll be thrown out on appeal. And then what the government is hoping is that Trump gets found guilty, loses the election, and then after he loses the election, it gets thrown out on appeal. Would that be a fair way to run in a presidential election? Well, this actually happened with Senator Ted Stevens in Alaska. He was the longest-serving Republican senator in the Senate at the time. He had been in the Senate since around 1975, and I believe this was the 2008 election. And he was put on trial for something, and then he was found guilty. And then after the trial, it was thrown out on appeal because exculpatory evidence, evidence that proved that he was innocent, was withheld from the defense. And by the way, the evidence was that the guy who was the main witness against Senator Ted Stevens was actually the guy committing the crimes and then blaming it on Ted Stevens. And he was the government witness. How ridiculous is that? The case was so ridiculous that they started to investigate the prosecutors, and one of the prosecutors committed suicide just before he was arrested. Of course, Ted Stevens lost the election very narrowly and then died in a plane crash. So they still got rid of Ted Stevens. They got rid of him. And I think we have Lisa Murkowski now because of it, by the way. So...
Okay, boss. Stand by. We'll be right back.
Dire consequences.
In his discussion of comparison between the trial of Galileo Galilei and Donald J. Trump.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. you can torture us and bomb us, fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Now, just to review the bidding, Business Insider has a summation of the pending cases where the lawsuits and prosecutions involving Donald Trump are piling up. The ex-president, who's a front-runner for the 2024 Republican presidential nomination, is now indicted in four separate prosecutions, the first former Oval Office occupant to ever be charged. He faces, as Rolf observed, 91 criminal counts overall. In Atlanta, he and 18 co-defendants were charged in a sprawling RICO case for trying to overturn the election results in Georgia. The Justice Department brought a separate case against him in Washington, D.C. for his election challenges that's related to January 6th. In Florida, the Justice Department brought 37 counts against him for his handling classified docs after leaving the White House. In my opinion, that doesn't have a ghost of a chance. In New York, he stands charged with 34 felony counts for falsifying business records, whereas Rolf observed the banks themselves had said they were satisfied with his collateral. They didn't have any issue. This is, therefore, what might be called a trumped-up charge. Meanwhile, he set to face a second defamation trial brought by E. Jean Carroll, the magazine writer, won a civil trial against Trump for sexual assault and defamation this past May. That was a case where she could not even remember the year in which she had raped. That ought to have been thrown out immediately. How absurd. If you want evidence of the corruption of our judicial system, there it is, staring us right in the face. Rolf.
Well, those are some witch hunts we got, isn't it? Now, we discussed the gag order against Trump, which I might come back to. We also mentioned how the gag order against Galileo, there was also Trump and Galileo proved they were innocent in the middle of the trial. Another thing that's interesting between Trump and Galileo is they were both constantly told to shut up and stop arguing, constantly. Okay, Galileo did the same thing Trump did. He pilloried his opponents. There were all these books written when Galileo first became super famous in 1610. Suddenly, books popped up all over Europe attacking Galileo. Now, I'm going to give you an example of some of the idiocy that Galileo had to deal with. Okay, there was a guy named Professor Libri, who was a professor at the University of Pisa, the same place where Galileo dropped the balls off the Leaning Tower of Pisa. And Professor Libri claimed that the invisible stars that Galileo discovered, the moons of Jupiter, didn't exist, the nebulous stars didn't exist, the Milky Way wasn't really what Galileo said, which is just really little bitty stars that caused the appearance of the Milky Way. All this stuff was just made up by Galileo and his telescope. So when then Professor Libri died a few months later, so Galileo, instead of, you know, expressing condolences over the death of Professor Libri, Galileo said that, well, Professor Libri didn't see the new stars when he was alive on Earth, but perhaps he'll see them on his way up to heaven. Okay, so, you know, oh, that's really, that's terrible. Galileo is not respecting the dead. What a, you know, so Galileo didn't care, though. He just did it. He did it anyway because he was under attack and the truth was under attack. Another example was this guy named Horky, who wrote a whole book against Galileo. Horky was a very, very disturbed individual. Horky wrote a book. He's supposedly an educated person. He wrote this really long book, and he says, here's the argument. Every single star in the sky has already been accounted for by the astrologers and the astronomers. And also, God makes nothing in vain. So therefore, the new stars can serve no purpose, so they couldn't possibly exist. That was the argument of Horky. Okay, so Galileo said, actually, the new stars do have a purpose, to torment Horky. Okay, so people thought that was funny. Of course, the people who liked Horky didn't really like it. And the same thing happened. Another similarity between Trump and Galileo is, it's first the attacks against Trump were just arguments against Trump. Okay, the first attacks against Galileo were simply just arguments against Galileo. But guess what? Oh, after a few years, the legal system kicked into gear. So then it's different if someone's just arguing against you than if the weaponized legal system is going in. And the same thing happened to Galileo that happened to Trump. We know that Trump first started, you know, they said he's a racist. Take that back. He's a sexist and all this stuff. But then we know that they started, like, spying on him, and then we know that they said that he was involved with the Russians, and they started arresting his friends like George Papadopoulos, Michael Flynn, Roger Stone, Paul Manafort, and then now they're actually going after Trump himself after all these years. Okay, well, the same thing happened to Galileo. Galileo essentially didn't have any weaponization against him in 1610. At first, he did go down to Rome in 1610, and there was a massive feast for him, and he was celebrated. But there were other people, of course, that didn't like his views. There were certain things about Galileo that people liked, and there were other things that people didn't like, especially when he encroached upon religious dogmas. Okay, and of course, it says in the Bible in Joshua 10:12 and 10:13. That Joshua commanded the sun to stand still, and then Joshua said, sun, stand thou still, and the sun stood still in the midst of the heavens. So that's in the Bible. So people say Galileo is contradicting the Bible. Of course, Galileo had another explanation for it. He said there was just relative motion. That's what he said. He said it's relative motion, and which is the same thing that Einstein used. By the way, Einstein used Galileo's theories directly to make his theories, not Newton. Galileo did. And because Galileo did not believe in absolute motion. Galileo believed all motion was relative. Isaac Newton introduced the concept of absolute motion, which is not true. And that's why Einstein had to go back to Galileo to figure out his theory, because his theory didn't work under the concept of absolute motion. It only worked under the concept of relative motion. So anyways, Galileo tried to interpret, of course, Galileo wasn't supposed to interpret the Bible because he wasn't a licensed theologian. Although later he did get, he actually did have some sort of a theological title. I think he was a deacon, and he did receive a small salary later in his life. So technically you could argue he was a theologian, but not at this time. He was not a theologian. So anyways, the court system started to ramp up. There were investigations behind the scenes. And as I said in the last half hour, they did bring Galileo back. Galileo did come back to Rome in 1615. And there was a big investigation into Galileo. And then they finally, like I said, they gave him a gag order. So that was the weaponization. And then the weaponization restarted again in 1632 and 1633. So we have another comparison. And this is a principle of life, I could tell you. It shouldn't be, but it is, unfortunately. Even in a free country, it wouldn't be. But it is in the United States. The point is, if you're doing something that's really, really, really important, there's going to be somebody who's going to use the legal system against you. Does anybody doubt this? Think about it. It's going to happen. It shouldn't happen in America under the way our Constitution is written, but it does. And one of the things that Trump can do to change the world is to crush this evil prosecution system that, frankly, anyone involved in complex business transactions can be accused of crimes and found guilty, maybe. Or even if you're not found guilty, usually the process is the punishment, usually, for almost everybody. But Trump is a billionaire, so he can deal with this stuff. And Trump is leading in the polls, so he can deal with this stuff. Now, if Trump was losing in the polls right now, I'm going to tell you something right now. Trump would be in really, really deep doo-doo if Trump was losing in the polls. He would have everybody wanting him to drop out. And once if he dropped out, his trials would be much less relevant. See, a lot of people care about Trump's trials because they want Trump to be the president. If Trump was losing in the polls, people would stop believing in Trump, and they wouldn't, much fewer people would care, and they wouldn't care as much about Trump anymore. Like, look at Trump's friends. How many people care about Paul Manafort right now? Some people do. How many people care about George Papadopoulos, Michael Flynn, and Roger Stone? Well, some people do, but not the average person. And they want what they thought was going to happen when they started bringing these charges against Trump. They thought that it was going to lower him in the polls and that Santis was going to walk right in for the nomination. In fact, if you go back 1 year ago today, look at the betting odds, who's going to be the Republican nominee, who's going to be the next president. If you look at the betting odds a year ago today, Trump was in third place. DeSantis was in first place. And Biden was in second place. DeSantis was 2-1 favorite over Trump to win the Republican nomination. 2-1, and Biden was a heavy favorite over Trump if they met head to head. That's now changed. Now Trump leads in the betting odds by about 8% over Biden, and DeSantis has fallen into almost negligible territory. And what was the strategy in November, December, January, February, the DeSantis people who had a lot of money got together with the Bush people and the Cheney people and the George Soros people, and they plotted a scorched earth strategy to just absolutely trash Trump wherever they could and use these charges as a way to argue that Trump couldn't be the president. What they want you to think is this. They want you to say, well, you know what? I think Trump is innocent, but he needs to step aside because we need someone who doesn't have all these distractions. We need DeSantis, okay? They came after Trump and orchestrated attacks all over the country with local people who support Trump, not just Trump himself, but they went after anybody that supported Trump and to get him out of the way. And Trump has already now proven that isn't going to work. It's not going to work. DeSantis isn't going to win the nomination. He's going to get crushed in Iowa and then drop out. Then Nikki Haley may stay until South Carolina. She's going to get crushed and drop out. She has a low ceiling, by the way, because people don't even agree with her views. Then there's Chris Christie, who may stay until New Hampshire. Then he'll drop out. He has an even lower ceiling because people simply don't agree with him. So the idea that he could win a nomination is ridiculous. So then it's going to be Trump versus Biden. Or the speculation is Trump versus Newsom. Is Newsom really going to be the nominee? One of the new talking points for DeSantis is, oh, the only reason Biden is running is because Trump is the nominee. Okay. Well, there's a whole bunch of reasons why that Biden's probably going to be the nominee. The first reason is Newsom isn't really that good. He was just in a debate with Hannity on Hannity with DeSantis. He wasn't that good. Okay. Another thing is minority voters don't know who Gavin Newsom is, and they're not going to vote for him like they do for Biden. Biden was the VP for Obama for 8 years. Minority voters trust Biden for the most part. Biden's already losing votes for minority voters anyway because of Trump. Trump's actions that he's for the common person, not the big corporations. But if they put in another candidate, it would be a disaster with minority voters. They can't put in Newsom. Another problem is that Newsom is from California. So the traditional attacking where you go after the moderates are going to be told that California is crazy over here. It's crazy. They have to have an electric car, and people are crapping on the streets, and they have needles everywhere, and you know, they want to give you slave reparations, even though there's never been slavery legal in California. It was made a state in 1850 as a free state in the part of the Missouri Compromise. So there's going to be so many other kooky things. And then they'll just find somewhere where Newsom agreed with it or said it's okay. You know, even if he didn't really vote for it himself, they'll tie him to it because he's from California. That's what they're going to do to Newsom. And now, of course, if Biden had a health issue, then they would have to put someone else in. But that's the only reason they're going to do it. They're not going to do it because they think Newsom's going to get more votes. Newsom isn't going to get more votes than Biden is. And then the other people who they could bring up are Dim Whitmer from Michigan. Okay, well, first of all, what has she got going for? Well, she is from a battleground state, so I guess that's one thing. But Trump's up by 10% in the last Michigan poll. Whitmer has the Whitmer kidnapping hoax case in her state, which is going to be going to the Court of Appeals and the Supreme Court pretty soon. Do they really want to bring up another witch hunt on the national stage? You have people in that Whitmer kidnapping hoax who were found not guilty by the jury. You had hung juries with many of the other defendants, and you had to retry people. You had more undercover agents in the so-called group of militia or whatever you call it than there were actually people in the militia. There were like 15 undercover agents in the group, FBI agents, state agents, informants, paid informants, et cetera. A ridiculous case. And what I think will happen is that the Supreme Court is going to end up getting the case, and they're just going to say, this isn't due process. You can't have due process with this many informants. Can you imagine if you went to work somewhere and there were 15 government informants working in your office trying to get you to do something illegal all the time? Just think if the people cleaning the floors came in, oh, Let's just think if they were undercover agents. Think if your manager was an undercover agent, your secretary. Is that fair? What kind of a fairness is that to have all these undercover informants lying to you? How can you possibly have a real life under those conditions? This is going to be brought up if Whitmer's the candidate. Okay, who's the other candidate they have? J.B. Pritzker. He's got $100 million. He's a billionaire. He's the governor of Illinois. Now, Illinois isn't as kooky as California. But J.B. Pritzker is another, really, he's really another Bloomberg, is what he really is. He's not going to get very many votes. He's a boring guy. Bloomberg spent $1 billion and got, what, 8 delegates or something? I don't think he got above 8% in the polls with all the money he spent. J.B. Pritzker, you know, I don't see it. I don't think he wants to run anyway. Okay, then you have Kamala Harris. Okay, now Kamala Harris would win a primary right now. If they had a primary and Biden wasn't in the primary, Kamala Harris would win. Okay, everybody knows that she has really bad poll numbers. Okay, really bad poll numbers, worse than Biden, and she's the border czar. Really, the border czar. That's one of the biggest issues in the election, and she's an absolute failure. So the idea that she would win an election over Trump is ludicrous. Okay, of course, if you pass her over, then they'll say, "Oh yeah, you're a racist and a sexist." You passed her over. So you'd have to get her to agree to step aside. Now, some people think that Michelle Obama is going to run. Okay, these idiots on the radio, oh, Michelle Obama, she's going to run. I'm really smart, and I know more about than you do, and Michelle Obama's going to... No, Michelle Obama's not going to run. Okay, she's not going to run. First of all, she lives a jet-set lifestyle, easy lifestyle. She flies around the world, meets the Pope, then she goes and meets the King of England, then she meets with the Hollywood people. She sees her kids all the time. She has an easy jet-set lifestyle. They roll out the red carpet. She's on the cover of a magazine, and nobody says anything bad about her. If she ran for president, all that would change. She'd have to study the issue. She'd have to get up early in the morning. She'd be subject to attacks like crazy. Her poll numbers would start very high and then drop as time went on. She might not even be very good at it. She might be not good at it. And the other thing is she might not even win the damn election. So why would she want to run for president? She's not going to do it. So that leaves with Joe Biden. Joe Biden is the Democrat candidate unless he falls over dead or has a stroke or something, then he's going to be the candidate. That's what's going to happen. So maybe they still think they can stop Trump with these trials. They stopped Galileo sort of with the trials. They put Galileo under house arrest. But guess what Galileo did when he was under house arrest? He published what some people claim is his greatest book, The Discourses on Two New Sciences. Galileo published this book in 1638. It was smuggled out of his house arrest, smuggled into the Netherlands, and published in 1638. It's sometimes referred to as the cornerstone of modern physics. Also, there was a massive boom of Galileo books in the 1630s. Once Galileo was charged, everybody wanted to read Galileo books. So they were republished in different languages, English, German, French, Spanish, everywhere. And the ideas of Galileo especially became popular in England. There was a study done of the reception of Galileo books. Were they pro-Galileo, anti-Galileo, or neutral? And the only country where the vast majority of the books were pro-Galileo or just translations was England. England was the single place in the world where you didn't have a whole bunch of people attacking Galileo. They were attacking Galileo like crazy in Spain, France, Germany, and Italy, but not in England. So guess what happened? Isaac Newton grew up reading Galileo, and then he took Galileo's ideas and advanced them further with his book the Principia in 1687, where he announced the three laws of motion. And you usually hear, oh, the Newton's three laws of motion, right? Most people won't tell you this, but at the very beginning of Isaac Newton's book, he says, right in the book, the first two laws were discovered by Galileo. And then he says, and the third one is my discovery. That's right in the book. So that's all Newton did, is it took Galileo's ideas of motion and then expanded them more with more, even more mathematics and also more data. Newton had more data. When Galileo was alive, they didn't even have standardized distance of units. So if you were saying this is one, you know, whatever they use for distances, if you said this is 3x in distance, someone in the next country had no idea what it was. What does that mean? How did you measure seconds in the 1600s? How could you communicate units of time, distance, and mass to other scientific-minded people? You couldn't really do it. It was very difficult. That's why science took so long. And Galileo was one of the first people to make scientific instruments and then send them out around the country. So Galileo was very important. And, of course, the people in power didn't want new things changing because it could upset the apple cart. It's the same thing right now. The people in the global elite, if you want to talk about using Alex Jones phrase, they don't really want a lot of changes because something can change where it upsets the apple cart and they could lose money. That's why the Fed has a target economic growth of 2%. Okay, and what does 2% do? It covers inflation and population growth. It doesn't even cover that, inflation. But the point is that the reason why they have a low target economic rate is that if the economic growth is 3% or 5% or 10%, which it used to be before we had the Federal Reserve, then new people become players in the system quickly, and then it can upset the apple cart. It's easier for the people in power to impose their will by having massive numbers of regulations to hold everybody down, and then these massive regulations and laws can, of course, be used not only to bust people who are making money, they can also use it to stop political opponents like Trump. At least that's what I thought. They thought they could stop Trump, but I don't think they're going to stop Trump. I think that Trump is going to win the presidential election. That's what I think. Do you have any other comments, Jim?
Well, Ralph, we're going to open the lines for callers. We'll be right back with Ralph Lundgren. We'll take your call, 540-352-4452. Mitchell, standing by.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Thank you.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons in the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, as regular listeners of the show will appreciate, Rolf and I have some pretty deep differences, which I can address as we proceed. But let's open the lines. We got Brian standing by. Brian, your thoughts.
Well, I think everyone is forgetting Mr. Dominion voting machine, who's owned by, he's owned by the Pelosi family, and isn't Gavin Newsom her nephew? Okay, so what I think of is, if you look in history, Teddy Roosevelt with his Blue Moose Party took away votes from the Republican candidates so they could get Woodrow Wilson in there. Isn't Kennedy running as an independent? What they'll do is, when it's all said and done, they'll say, oh, that independent sucked off a lot of votes, and our Biden or Gavin Newsom, whoever Mr. Dominion or Dominion voting machine coronates will, you know, that's who's going to get it. Because when they control the vote, it doesn't matter what is reality. And reality is, yes, Trump probably won by 90% of the vote last time. But they control it, and they'll just look for some way of making it look like, you know, what happens.
No, I just sneezed. No, you're on top of it. Okay. I mean, this is like our deepest difference, Rolf and me, because he thinks that it's too difficult to steal elections, whereas I think it's commonplace. Rolf, go ahead. Respond to Brian.
Well, the Dominion machines aren't going to do anything, okay? I mean, Trump didn't even use that as a legal argument. There is the issue of ballot harvesting, which helps Democrats, because most Democrats are packed into small areas. 99% of Democrats live in 1% of the land surface of the United States. But the polling shows that even if you include those people, Trump is ahead, especially in the battleground states. There's an army of poll workers recruited since 2020. Where I live, we went up eight times as many poll workers as we had in 2020, have been hired, and they're the people who count the votes, check the voting machines, check the mail-in votes, et cetera. And that's just a way to throw negativity onto the election to talk about the Dominion machines. Like I said, with Republicans are actually trying to do more of their own, they call it vote chasing, which will help a little bit. Of course, Republicans are spread out over wide areas, so it's harder to do it. to do it, but it can be done. And with technology, people can find the Trump voters and turn them out. And Trump builds enthusiasm. I don't think that the polling is more rigged than the actual voting. That's another thing. They rig the polling more than they rig the actual voting. Okay, the last election, they said that Biden was up by 7.5%. Okay, but he only won by 0.5%. He won by 0.5% in three states. That was the margin. Okay, there's two parts of rigged polling. The first is the polling is rigged 3 to 5%. Whatever Trump has in a poll, add 3 to 5%. Then the other thing is a national popular vote isn't a real. There is no national popular vote. They have state by state voting, so that makes it look like Trump isn't as ahead as he is. If there's a national vote where it's a tie in the national popular vote, Trump, that means Trump is really ahead by 3%, 2 to 3%, because in the battleground states, he's going to be ahead by 2 to 3%. So there's two parts of rigged polling, and they both help Trump. And Trump is already way ahead. Then if you add in the idea that it's rigged, then he's going to even be more ahead. Rigged polling can only get you 1%, maybe 2%. That's what Rush Limbaugh used to say. And that's what I agree with that. They're not going to beat Trump with rigged voting, and they're not going to beat Trump with criminal indictments. They didn't stop Galileo's ideas with criminal indictments. They're not going to stop Trump's momentum with criminal indictments. They have to come up with something. They have another plan. Maybe they have another plan. They used a virus last time to shut down the economy, shut down Trump's giant rallies, shut down the Durham investigation. They did that. They blamed Trump for all the dead people. That worked barely last time. But if you think about it, it's actually better that Trump didn't win last time. Because if Trump didn't win last time, now he wouldn't be running this time, would he? Because Trump wouldn't be winning this time. Because if Trump was the president right now, the Congress wouldn't be doing anything he wanted to do. So he'd have a crappy presidency. Oh, if Trump wins next time, he's going to have a pro-Trump Congress, because the Senate elections all fall in place for Republicans. The Democratic senators are all up for re-election in states that Trump has won or were close. There's a Senate Democrat up for re-election in Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Ohio, West Virginia, Virginia, Montana, New Jersey, Arizona, and Nevada. All winnable races.
Let me pull in Paul to join Brian. Paul, go ahead. Your thoughts?
Yeah, the layers of excavation necessary to take this all apart, it's staggering. Yeah, exactly. What Rolf just laid out is precisely the point, that there's this all-powerful in place, you know, what do you want to call it? I hate keep to use the same word over and over, you know, the deep state, whatever. But these are the people that are running the show, not politicians. So, you know, it staggers me when Brian brought up the Dominion voting machines and Rolf said something about, well, that's just throwing negativity onto these elections. And I'm thinking to myself, well, negativity is a concept, right? But Dominion voting machines are real. They're real technology. They're real hardware. They're real software. Their real methodology, which this power structure uses to do what it is they want. I mean, what Brian basically said at the beginning of his call, simply put, is that elections don't matter when you have this kind of power structure in place. I mean, many, many people have said, I don't know who to attribute to. I'm pretty sure George Carlin said it as well. But if they thought that voting would really matter, they wouldn't let you do it.
Yeah, it was so, George Carlin.
It's unfortunate we live in the world we do, and I wish that all these things were true about Trump and about the possibility of him being elected and so forth. But I have a quick question for you, Rolf. I'm sure you're familiar with Jim's work on many things, including Michelle Obama, and you use the word she a lot. I'm assuming you're down with the idea that Michelle Obama is actually a man and she didn't have any biological children. He didn't have biological children.
You're with
okay.
that, right?
Well, it says in the Constitution, when it talks about the president, it says he shall, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe she's doing this. Maybe she doesn't think that women are allowed to be president, so she's pretending to be a man so she can say that she can comply with the government.
Well, she's not,
where
she's
it
not,
says
she's
he
not
shall in the
to be a man.
Okay, I well, mean, that's
he,
what it says in the
is,
Constitution.
He is a man. I know, but that's not the question I ask you. So do you?
Does it really matter? Does it really matter if she's a he or a she? Anyway, do you really just? She's using.
Well,
she's not using her
like
sex.
Asking,
she's
if,
using her race.
Like asking, I'll answer your question if
she's
you're
using
left.
Her
that's
race
like asking,
to get the votes,
okay,
not her
again,
sex.
Again, I'm trying to answer your question. You asked me a question.
Okay.
My answer is this: Does fraud really matter, Rolf? Does fraud matter? Does truth matter? Does reality matter? Does biology matter, Rolf?
Okay, how much fraud was there, though? Why did Trump
do
better
than
the polls said?
If a man says he's a woman and a woman says she's a man, that's
well, I'm not
about
gonna
the
vote.
Biggest fraud
I'm,
you can commit.
She's not going to run. She's not going to run for president, though.
I know.
So
I know. I was asking what you think.
Okay. She's not going to run for president. So why
what
I, why
do
would
you
I even
think,
care?
Rolf? Tell us, please. What
I don't
do you
really.
Think?
I don't really care. I don't really care that much about it.
Oh my God. Okay. All right. I got you. Okay. Fine. You don't care.
Not, I don't.
We're living in a
really.
World of fraud. The point is, Rolf, we're living in a world of fraud and lies, and I think in many ways you cannot see it.
Well, they, we're,
or
of course
you
we
don't
are. That's
want
why,
to see
that's,
it.
Well, we do. That's why, and that's why they usually win, don't they? The bad guys usually win, don't they? Right?
Yeah.
And maybe once in a while the bad guys don't win. It doesn't always work, though. Sometimes the bad guys don't win. It does happen, not very often, that we won the American Revolution. That's when the good guys won, didn't they?
Well,
the Bank of England sure didn't win that war.
I think Rolf made a remark earlier that many of us found puzzling about it was better that Trump had not won in 2020. I mean, I find that rather remarkable. Would you care to...
Right.
Elaborate, Rolf?
Well, I think if Trump is elected in 2024, he'll have a far better presidency than he would have had if he was president right now. If he was president right now, he'd probably be, I mean, what would they do? Maybe they say they can't put him on trial, but maybe they would if they just did it anyway. I mean, the courts haven't ruled against it. He wouldn't have had the Congress on his side. Think about it.
Well,
if he was the
but
president
actually,
right now, the Congress wouldn't pass anything that he wants to do. Nothing. So all he can do is executive orders, right? He could do executive orders, which he'd already done those. He could appoint some more judges, which he'd already been doing that for 4 years. And what else could he do? He could put stuff out on Twitter. Of course, he was banned from Twitter before he even left the presidency. Now he's back on Twitter. But he only used it one time. He's got True Social. You know, maybe he'd have more users on True Social if he was president. His presidency wouldn't be all that great if he was president right now. If he gets elected president next time, it's going to be a lot better. It's going to be a lot better if he gets the president next time than if he's president now. That's what I'm telling you. Because the Senate is the key. The key is the Senate.
Let me get Brian in, and then we'll go back to Paul. Brian, your thoughts.
Well, when he talks about the vote, I always think back. This is when I really figured out it's easy for them to rig every election. It doesn't matter. Is Dr. Tom Osborne, who was a Nebraska football coach that won 3 world championships, 2, he was an assistant coach with it. He was like a god in the state of Nebraska, ran for Congress, and he made that. But then when he ran for governor, this guy probably had a 99.9% approval rating in that, you know, state where Nebraska football's king. Everyone's into it. That's where I'm originally from. Somehow or another, he lost the election. And it just made my jaw drop. This is something that was absolutely impossible. And yet somehow way back when he lost the election for governor. So from that point on, I knew we're living in Kabuki theater. And that one of the protocols of the elders of Zion says, and I'll put it in modern context, it doesn't matter if you vote Democrat or Republican. We control the outcome. The goyim will think that they're having an effect on things. They'll think that, you know, maybe their Republican Party's doing something great, but behind the scenes, we control everything. And if you read the what Otto Kahn has said, who was one of the Rothschild higher-ups, he said the same thing in a dinner to the ambassador from France to England named Oxier. He said, look, we control everything. And it's true. We're just living in kabuki theater. It doesn't matter whether they're Democrats or Republican. They control it all. And when you look at the fact Trump's son-in-law was a Shabbat Lubunovich or whatever they are the most evil beings on the planet. When you, you know, delve into them, he even went to that guy's Menachem Schneerson's grave site to pay homage to him with Trump's daughter. That, oh, if you just read about those people, it just makes your blood boil. They're so incredibly evil. They're the ones that want to kill everybody on the planet for the most part. So anyway,
so you
that's
think that
all
Trump's going to lose the election because his daughter married a Jewish guy? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
No, I'm not saying that. He may win.
Who cares if
he
cares?
He may win the election.
Look,
he may win it,
usually,
but it won't matter. It won't matter.
So now
he's
still now we're
control.
Moving the goalpost.
No.
So I thought they controlled all the elections, but now if even if Trump wins, it doesn't matter anyway. Is that what
it
you're saying?
It doesn't matter. Right? Exactly.
So it doesn't matter. Then why do they put Trump on trial?
Okay, hang on, Paul. Hang on.
It doesn't matter. Why is Trump on trial then? If they didn't really care.
Keep the kabuki theater going. Let us think we're doing something. Read the Protocols of Elder of Zion. It's right there. They'll say, oh, they think they're doing something, but they're not.
The Elder of Zion, you think they're going to stop Trump? You think they're going to stop Trump?
Hey,
come on now.
Boys and girls, hang on there. I want to let Paul get a word in edgewise. Paul, go ahead.
Well, Brian, thank you for dropping that nostalgic college football reference in there. Yeah, I remember Tom Osborne and the dominant Nebraska football program as well. You know, but the point that Brian's making, and Brian, I have to let you know in case you're not familiar with Rolf. Rolf is not down with identifying the tribe that's behind all this. Okay, so he's not with that, and you're never going to make any headway there. So, you know, having said that, again, I just agree with what Brian just said, what his assessment, it's correct. It jives with mine. And I know in large measure with you, Jim, we wish that elections mattered more, but they really don't. And in fact, way before Dominion voting machines, they were stealing elections anyway. All you got to do is read Vote Scam by the Collier Brothers. You know, the single word title, I've mentioned the book many times, of Vote Scam. You can actually read chapters of it for free online. And they talk about the way it was done back then before all the voting machines. And now that they have the voting machines, you know, essentially Brian's making the simplest of points, which I've made many times myself. If they own the money, I'm just going to use the word own so we don't have to have a lot of analysis. If they own the money, they own the media, they own the courts, you know, they own the elections, they own the machines. I mean, it's like, are you kidding me? It's like we're in a cage and they're asking us, okay, can we vote for the conditions of the cage, or can we vote for the masters that are controlling the lock and key to our cage? You know, that's really all it is, and in most cases, it means absolutely nothing. Unfortunately, I'll make a quick point, and then I'll be done. You guys go back to arguing. Earlier in the show, you were talking about motion and relative motion. Okay, there's no such thing as relative motion. It's just a term. Okay, motion it exists or it doesn't. You're either stationary or you're in motion. The term relative motion doesn't mean anything. It's nonsense. And many people have dispensed with Einstein's theory of relativity. You can both read and hear excellent refutations of the theory of relativity as mostly just blather and nonsense.
What about Galileo's theory of relativity? What about that theory? Is that one bad too?
I don't want to go down this road, Jim. You know where I'm going to go with this, so let's leave that for now. But yeah, I just wanted to make the point that there's no such thing as relative motion.
What about absolute motion? Do you believe in absolute motion? Do you believe in absolute motion?
Why do you keep trying to redefine what I said? Motion is
I'm asking you a question.
What did I say? I said you're either stationary or you're in motion.
Okay, well, then you believe in absolute motion.
Stop. Let me answer your question. You ask me a question, and then you keep talking, okay? All you're doing is putting the word absolute in front of motion. It doesn't mean anything to me. It's like putting the word big in front of bang, okay? You don't need to do it. Motion is well understood. We all know what motion is.
So you're using the Newtonian version of absolute motion, though.
Okay,
that's your framework.
Newtonian. It doesn't mean anything to me. Newtonian. What does that mean?
Isaac Newton.
I have a brain.
What is space-time?
I know. He doesn't have a theory of space-time.
Well, of course
that was
he
not.
Did.
No, that was
look,
Einstein.
Okay. Let's get back to
space
this.
Space-time has been dispensed with. All right, go ahead. Go back to whatever the politics are.
Oh, I just want to get back to what I take to be a fundamental difference between my and Rolf's views, because it's obvious to me Trump won the 2020 election overwhelmingly, as you've heard me say. He got over 100 million votes, Biden only 37. And it's had all these stunning consequences. Even Carville admitted implicitly that the Democrats had stolen 57 House seats from the Republican in 2020 and 3 or 4 Senate seats. So I think Rolf is wrong about what Trump's presidency would have been like. He would have had control of both the House and the Senate and could have got a lot done. And what we're living through is simply ghastly, in my opinion. I mean, that we had not had the Biden administration would have been a good thing for America. And it's just awful what's happened, how destructive it's been for the United States. Rolf, your thoughts.
Okay, well, I agree that lots of elections are stolen. They're rigged. There's biased polling. I get all that. But that doesn't mean that every single time the bad guys win and the good guys lose. I think that this is going to be a case where the good guys are going to win. I don't think that they can do enough voter fraud, enough voter rigging to stop Trump in this election. Maybe, we'll see what happens. They could come up with another plan. Maybe World War III will start. Maybe World War II.5 will start. I don't know. But whatever they do, the strategy of using the criminal system against Trump isn't working. That's what they planned on doing. They thought they were going to stop Trump by putting him on trial and all these other legal cases, and it isn't working. So if they're going to do something else, if they're going to do something else, another plan. Here's one here. Another plan that they might try. What if they tell us there's a giant asteroid heading towards the Earth, and we all have to have martial law. And we also have to have all vote by mail. And then suddenly, 3 days after the election, they can tell us that the asteroid missed. What if they did that?
This is interesting. I'm glad you mentioned this, because this is going to be, and I think Brian may or may not agree with me, but I actually hope it gets worse, okay? I hope they do steal it in the most grotesque manner possible. I hope they come down with more draconian legislation. I hope they declare martial law, and maybe more and more people will wake up. American people will wake up and see the forest for the trees so that we can get going. I'm an accelerationist, if you know what that means, Rolf. I'm an accelerationist. Mm-hmm. Let's get this done, because the system is not fixable.
So in an odd sense, you might agree with me then that maybe by having Biden for 4 years, things got worse, and that could be enough to trigger something good, which would be Trump in 2024, right?
No, not good, not Trump, good like as in overthrowing the system, getting down to business. That sooner or later, we're going to have to take care of business. Things are only going to get worse. They're not going to get better. In my opinion, Jim, you've seen in your lifetime, you're 14 years older or 15 years older than me, you've seen things steadily become worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. So what indication does anybody really rightfully have to think they're going to get better?
I know. Johnny, go ahead and say a few more words. Yeah, since you just joined, go ahead.
Great show, guys. And I must say, everyone is missing. If you need to look at it from a different angle, if you were the Democrats and you wanted one of your boys, you wanted everybody to vote for your guy named Donald Trump, but you can't let him know he's your guy. So you pull all the crap they're pulling to make him look like your enemy, just like they're doing. This is a game, a sick joke, and I'm glad half of you are on board.
Ryan?
Okay. All right. Well, you have a very cynical group of friends, Jim. we had a friend in college. We used to call him Cal. His nickname was Cal. It stood for cynic at large. He was very gloomy, optimist. He was very gloomy on his outlook.
Yeah.
But I think that things are going to be. I think things are going to get better if Trump gets reelected. That's what I think.
But what evidence do you have to suggest that? Okay.
Well, all right, I just went through what evidence. Well, he's ahead in the polls. How's that for a starter? You want to give me some polling data? The polls. I mean, he was behind
an asteroid is going to hit us. So what does the polls matter?
Well, they could that could be Plan B. The asteroid is coming. In 2016 and 2020, Trump was losing in the polls in 2016 and 2020.
Hey, okay. If I may make another statement when I get a chance, I appreciate it.
Yeah, go ahead. Yes,
he was losing in the polls. Now he's winning in the polls. So how's that for evidence of optimism? Okay.
Go ahead, John.
You guys have any more questions? I think we're running out of time.
But
ask me a quick question.
I'm going to put this question of whether we have a left or right Tejada party to rest. We have 216 people being held hostage by the British. And yes, the District of Columbia, that is not part of the USA, that they burned our White House down and rebuilt it back on that land and made it look like they had a case, that is British. Those are the British. And so they got us. We're done. Good day, gentlemen.
Hey, thanks. Okay. Thanks for calling, Johnny.
Okay,
Brian, you want to add a few more thoughts, and then we'll give Rolf a last word. Brian?
I think Brian left.
All right.
What if God sent Galileo down, and then 400 years later, he sent Trump down to save the Earth? What if that's what happened?
Jim, come on.
That Cicero said that God sent Socrates down on Earth to teach philosophy to the people.
I prefer Godzilla. So I hope Godzilla attacks Washington, D.C.
Well, unless you can prove me wrong, unless you can prove that didn't happen, I'm going to accept it as truth.
Rolf, thanks for coming on. Paul, Brian, Johnny, great questions, great calls. Let me remind everyone, spend as much time as you can with your family, your friends, and people you love and care about, because we do not know how much time we have left.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven. Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given right, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. on Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at...